Hey guys, it's Liz, and you are listening to Dear Younger Me, Love Me, where we give people the chance to write a letter to their younger selves in hopes that we can learn a little bit from their lives. Hey guys, welcome to Dear Younger Me, Love Me, and today I have my friend Brad Buckley with us, and he is the youth pastor at one of our local churches, College Park, and I have known, I just got to know Brad this last year or so. You started doing youth ministry right before the pandemic, which is like incredible. So you've had some ups and downs with youth ministry already. Yep. But will you introduce yourself a little bit to our listeners and let them know who you are?
Yeah. So as Liz said, allegedly, my name is Brad. I've been called that most of my life.
Allegedly.
I started at College Park right at the beginning of 2020 in January. A couple months before the pandemic hit. That was a really strange first year and a half, but it's been a really exciting experience. You know, I've known for a while that vocational professional ministry was something that I was supposed to do, mm-hmm. and the Lord just really opened up doors for this, and it so happened to be with youth, and it's probably the most rewarding thing that I think we get to do.
Yeah.
Is just work with youth in Huntington County and mm-hmm. elsewhere. And
you're married?
Yes, I am married.
Recently married for
a year and a half. June 2020 to my lovely wife, Kylie. I attended Huntington University, as did she. Mm-hmm. We met there, and she hasn't killed me yet. That's good.
That's good.
Yeah, she's great. She has, she gives me a lot of focus. I'm a big vision, big thought talker, and she really helps me narrow in a lot of those different things. She's mm-hmm. a careful listener. She does great with her students, and she's terrific.
Yeah, that's awesome. And mm-hmm. you guys just recently bought a new house too.
Yes.
So you're like moving in and out of all of that too, right?
Yep. We wanted to be closer to Huntington, and a place came up that made that a little bit more possible. So everything worked out, and we're mostly settled at this point.
Yeah.
But it's been fun.
Okay. And did you didn't grow up in Huntington?
No.
Indiana? No. Where are you from?
Tell me a little bit of that. Yes, I am an Appalachian boy. I grew up in southeastern Ohio, about 10 miles from the Ohio River, bordering West Virginia.
Okay, so you're basically from West Virginia.
I was born there, yeah. Yeah. So my whole life until the age of 19, until I came to Huntington University, I lived down there. What that looked like, you know, my family farmed. I lived like a mile and a half from a school that had, my high school had 200 kids in it.
Yeah,
you know, it was
pretty
small.
The whole thing, yeah.
Yeah, the whole small community ordeal.
Okay.
But I ended up as a late teenager, kind of getting back to the ministerial call here. My friend invited me to a youth group actually.
Yeah.
At a local United Brethren church, and you know, I wasn't really familiar with them.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up United Methodist, and this guy named Adam Will, who was the volunteer associate pastor at the time. If you're talking about like giving of yourself,
yes,
man, that's
being
a big
volunteer
one.
Associate pastor is a lot of work.
Yeah, and he eventually ended up being the senior pastor, but he's my youth pastor. Met him at the age of 17, and we just hit it off right away. He later told me, you know, he just kind of sensed from the Lord that I was just on his heart all the time.
Mm.
So hearing that from him later was pretty special, just as our relationship grew. He was really the first like hands-on mentor that I had in my life and just really walked with me through some incredible things. You know, he talked to me about the things that most adults wouldn't talk to me about and didn't really act like he was above me, but he was very with me in what I was going through. He took what I said seriously. He listened. He processed with me, and that was just monumental to my growth as a Christian. You know, I've always been a believer to the earliest age that I can remember. I have really good parents who did their best to raise me in the faith, and but there's always just something outside of mom and dad that really has to happen for your spiritual formation. And I think in the American culture, we have a tough time getting past that small nucleus of people. Like, you know, everything's our business. When we look at the church, it's an entire body, an entire family, yeah, where you're trying to sharpen one another together. You know, mm-hmm, there's an old saying, it takes a village to raise a child.
Yeah, so true.
Sort of like that.
Uh-huh.
And Adam just became such a big part of my life. He hired me to actually do property research. He was an independent contractor at the time, and that gave us a lot of time together, just mm-hmm, even with one-on-one discipleship things that I wasn't realizing at the time,
yeah,
that he was really intentionally doing, and it ended up being super helpful for my life. And he was also the first one to really tell me at the age of 17, you don't have a stinking clue what the Lord is going to do with your life, but he has a calling on your life. And the first thing I told him the next day was, I'm not going to be a pastor.
Yeah.
And God laughed.
Yeah,
and
here
I am. So I tried to run from that from a few years, you know, two or three years, not necessarily like far away.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I grew in areas such as volunteering, serving in the local church, all these other things that I thought were really good to do, but I couldn't get out of my head that I had to make X amount of dollars every,
yes,
year in order to live.
Yeah.
You know, that's,
well, yeah,
just...
the word ministry doesn't really like equate with making a lot of money and financial security and all the things that we emphasize in the world. And so when you think about doing ministry for your job, you're like, ooh, okay, mm-hmm, am I willing to sacrifice the comforts,
yeah,
I've been dreaming about my whole life of, mm-hmm, you know, all of these things? Obviously the Lord still provides, but, mm-hmm, but there is those limits that we have with,
yeah,
that. So yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And looking back at it now, I'm not absent of anything I need.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very arrogant way of thinking,
yeah,
looking back on that. But I was 17, 18, and,
yeah,
I still had a lot to learn,
mm-hmm,
right? And I didn't go through an intense like one-on-one discipleship process until I was 17. It was,
yeah,
it was a little later than some people. So,
so when you say discipleship,
yes,
that might be a word that people hear but don't really know,
right,
what it means.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So what did that look like for you?
Yeah. So, disciple essentially means student or learner,
yeah,
right? And that would be of Jesus Christ. And the most effective way I think that happens is when there is someone or multiple people who will kind of take you along and say, hey, we're going to walk this walk together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's more than just checking off boxes of going to worship services, reading and praying regularly. Obviously, those things are important that we do.
Yeah.
And those are institutions of the church that we do. But there's a living in the Lord changing and shaping your heart,
yeah,
to be an effective representative of him.
Mm-hmm.
And following Adam on a day in and day out basis as he was interacting with people.
Yeah.
He was able to give me pointers. I was able to observe things. I was able to see what he didn't do well and say, oh, that's something I'm going to watch,
mm-hmm,
you know, because nobody does it completely right, but,
yeah,
he did a good job.
Yeah.
And that sort of a thing is, you know, following someone's example who's been there,
mm-hmm,
that was monumental for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And he invited you into that. He even hired you,
mm-hmm,
as a teenager to do land development with him. Like that's crazy. Like just thinking he was willing to.
It was property research.
Oh,
we
property
were like
research,
digging
property,
in papers,
yeah,
in a courthouse for people who owned oil and gas wells and things,
yeah,
like that.
But,
yeah,
but he wanted you by his side to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just a cool thing that he was willing to spend that time with you. Because I think a lot of times people are intimidated to spend time with teenagers,
mm-hmm,
right? Because,
mm-hmm,
they ask,
yeah,
the hard questions. They make you answer them,
mm-hmm,
or you just have to brush them off.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's just tough sometimes and people feel intimidated, and then Adam was willing to sit and spend that time with you, which is really cool.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then you were talking a little bit about like you weren't sure what you were going to do when you were in school, and then Adam kind of like raised you up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, how was that journey of finding what you wanted to do for your life? Because I know right now there are some seniors maybe listening to this that are like, I'm trying to figure out what I want to do for college, or even somebody in college right now that's listening to this and is like, what's my major? Or somebody going through a job change is like, what do I want to do the rest of my life? That feels really intimidating. So what was that journey like for you?
Yeah, it was extremely frustrating.
Yeah.
Because I kept looking for I kept looking in the wrong direction for, okay, you know, what I needed in a career, in, you know, all of these different things.
Yeah, so finances you were looking for,
yes,
security.
Yeah, and all of that stuff. I mean, those are good things to have, mm-hmm, if the Lord so provides them. And he takes care of us anyway.
Yeah.
The scriptures say that. He's taking care of birds and the vegetation and, mm-hmm, all of those different things. You know, are you not much more valuable to your Heavenly Father than those things?
Yeah.
But being able to trust, that's a completely different thing.
Yeah.
I would say to anybody who is unsure on what the next is, be very faithful in the now.
Mm-hmm.
And don't put parameters or limitations on,
yeah,
that, right? The Lord knows your desires. And many of those desires, if directed the correct way, will absolutely bring him glory.
Mm-hmm.
But don't, you don't have to figure it out today.
Yeah.
Especially as a high schooler.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what society does is 3 months after you're raising your hand to go to the bathroom, you're supposed to know what you're going to do with your life. You're living by yourself, and you're supposed to figure out what all of these different classes are you're supposed to go to,
mm-hmm,
in a place that you've never lived or been before,
yep,
living with somebody you've never met,
uh-huh,
right? So it's a very big shift for a lot of people. You know, I think I was fortunate to take a year and a half after high school before I got to college, because, mm, I was pretty prepared by the time I got there.
Yeah. So what led you to, yeah, take that year and a half before going to college?
I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Okay.
And I was not going to, I waited to bury myself in student loans before I knew what I was going to,
yeah,
before I knew what I was going to do. So,
yeah,
that was a big part of it. If I didn't know, I wasn't going to burn up a bunch of resources to, mm-hmm, not know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would think that it would be, because I went straight to college. And so during that year and a half where all of your friends were already going to school and you were just trying to figure things out and you probably, mm-hmm, felt a ton of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you feel about, like, yourself? What are some of the doubts you had? What are some of those questions that you went through during that gap year and a half that you took?
Yeah, it was a pretty lonely time.
Yeah.
Because so many other people had either found, you know, vocational or trade work or college. It was just very different. I didn't have a ton of friends readily available,
mm-hmm,
like they were. And I was working in sheet metal fabrication, you know, which I made some good relationships there, but that's just a really tough environment to,
yeah,
be in.
Yeah.
I felt more like a missionary in that environment,
yeah,
sometimes than
factory
others.
Working.
Right. But that was a good experience in and of itself. But,
mm-hmm,
it was really tough, especially right before, in that fall before I knew I was coming to HU already.
Yeah.
And that November, December was a pretty lonely and rough time because I just wanted the next thing.
Yeah, you wanted to rush it.
I really,
yeah,
struggled to get through the present moment now that I knew what it was I wanted to do.
Mm.
So that was long and hard season.
Was,
yeah,
your family like super supportive of you during all,
oh,
of,
yeah,
that? And, you know, I think that makes a really
they were
big
worried
difference.
About me.
Yeah. Checking in on you and be,
yeah,
like, are you okay?
Yeah.
So going back to high school,
mm-hmm,
before we turned on the podcast, you were talking about how, like, your sister knew exactly what she was doing from the get-go, and, mm-hmm, you had no idea.
Yes.
So how did that dynamic look like for you?
Yeah. I put a lot of pressure on myself.
Yeah.
She didn't put a lot of that pressure on me. She really encouraged me, go to school, you know, even go in undecided and try to figure something out, because,
yeah,
it was a really beneficial experience for her. And my sister and I are first-generation college kids.
Okay.
Okay. So that was another thing. She really thought that I had the aptitude and should go,
mm-hmm,
but I just wasn't comfortable doing that,
yeah,
if I wasn't sure. But she was great through the whole process. She was a good one to go to for advice, and but that was a really hard thing, because it comes up again and again,
yeah,
with your guidance counselors, with all of these placement tests, which placement tests are terrible. That's, mm, another podcast for another day.
right.
So all of those different things that you go through in high school. And I just wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm.
And as it kept going nearer, nearer, nearer to graduation, I felt more of that pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a whole lot of unknown that I still have a hard time really putting words to.
Yeah.
Because it was silent, you know, just that whole time was nothing really stuck in the middle of all of it.
Well, yeah. And I can imagine as somebody who's following Jesus and is like praying all the time, like, God, please show me a direction. God, like, show me the right path. Show me all these things. And then silent. How did that affect your relationship with God in those, especially in those low moments? What are some of the prayers or thoughts that you had during that time?
Yeah, well, a lot of it, again, was I was looking for the wrong thing, like security and all of these different things, when that's not what the Lord calls us to. It's to bear your cross and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever avenue that was, I don't think I was ready for it because that wasn't my prayer.
Yeah.
Right. I was going around this big elephant that was stuck here instead of actually asking him to show more of that to me.
Yeah.
I was still trying to figure it out my way. And anytime advice to anybody who's listening, anytime you try to do things your own way, separate from just submitting to the Lord's will, it goes not necessarily horrible, but you just wasted a bunch of time by the time he wears you out and brings you back. You know, this is what he's designed us for.
Yeah.
And these are the ways he wants to use our giftedness and our design that he's intended,
mm-hmm.
right? Not everybody is professional ministry.
Yeah.
You know, my wife is an educator, and she's known that she was going to be a teacher, an elementary teacher, ever since she was a sophomore in high school.
Yeah.
She cadet taught, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
She knew the whole time. And she's got a really awesome journey and story with all of that, too. Just the Lord continually affirming that, even through different struggles that came, right? Yeah. So I think for me, I feel a little bit like Jonah, begrudgingly going and going and going, finally obedient, you know, kind of prayed, man, why do these people get pardoned?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Almost that type of attitude, just a completely different scenario, right?
Yeah, it's like, why do my friends know exactly what they want to do?
Yes.
Or why does my sister have this like definite, clear answer from you and I got nothing?
Yeah, that was probably where I was. I was probably having an attitude of Jonah.
Uh-huh.
And then the shade tree gets killed, and then I'm still grumpy.
Mm-hmm.
And then once the Lord actually used a very special experience on a Sunday morning where Adam, like I said, eventually became senior pastor, and he had gotten sick the night before. He lined up a speaker. But there was somebody who had to facilitate the entire worship service.
Yeah.
I'm 19. I've never done this.
Yeah.
But I had to be the guy, you know, to lead in congregational prayer and all of these different things. I thought I was going to lose my head.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in that moment, I really sensed the Holy Spirit just like, vocational, professional ministry.
Yeah.
This is where you're at. You need to be in the local church. I'm trying to design you as a leader. Get your stubborn head out of the way and just let me go.
Yeah.
Let me steer the ship. You've done enough. Just let me do it.
Yeah.
And that was a pretty defining moment when that happened. That's when I started having conversations with mentors and different people. And really, that church family, Mount Hermon, back in Pomeroy, Ohio, was very instrumental in sending me.
Yeah.
And that is also a very important thing. You know, the local church, when they come together and a lot of churches will pray for missionaries, for leaders, and all of these different things. And maybe they were doing that. I don't know. But they sent me very well.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that support from back home, I really thought I could survive the college monster.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That was a big thing. And that was a big motivator. And when you have a praying body praying for you, That
makes a huge difference.
It makes a difference, right?
Yeah.
Because they're interceding. The Lord is the one who's empowering everything that you're doing.
Yeah.
It's absent of yourself, which the call to be a Christian is to just die more to yourself anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just an awesome experience I had at HU. I had great professors, great mentors. The Lord just kind of wide opened up everything and provided everything. Everything just fell into its place as it needed to. When ever since I came to Huntington.
Mm. Well, one thing about when you felt that calling from the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. that I think a lot of times people get confused of what that really looks like, mm-hmm. of like, did you like see a light beam? Like, you know, yeah. like did you hear, see a billboard and it spoke to you or and all of that? But like you felt this inkling in mm-hmm. your heart, mm-hmm. but then you checked with the people that are close to God.
Smart people.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's
who know the Spirit.
A huge thing is like, I think sometimes we're like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to trust my gut here because that's the Holy, like, that's the Holy Spirit, right? And, but then they don't check with other people first.
Right.
People that are praying, people that are close to God or, you know, all of that. And you did that. And that was huge for your story.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it is critically important when, especially major decisions and things like that, have older people, a little smarter people who've been there. Not that you're dumb, mm-hmm. but these people have experience in life, in
wise,
the Christian faith.
Wise people.
Wisdom
people,
that they are just able to share, you know? I mean, I talked to a couple of pastors, but I also talked to our, 68-year-old piano player.
Yeah.
And she was just really able to sit down and process through that with me. One of the funniest, you know, easygoing, not serious people you've ever met was really able to speak into me there mm-hmm. because of the relationship that she and I had.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
that was a really big deal. Mm-hmm. After a worship practice, we're standing in the parking lot just going through all of this. And I pretty well knew after these conversations, this is kind of the affirmation of what's going to happen. So even when you're completely unsure, I still have like 15 different mentors that are either peer or older than me that I will go to seek advice because I don't have all of this figured out.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have a clearer idea of the direction that I'm going in. I do my best each day to walk in obedience with whatever the Lord may provide today, right?
Yeah.
And it's good to plan, but to rely entirely on those things we know from the book of James is foolish, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Foolish people will say, we'll go to a town, make a profit this year, and do all of these different things. But what you ought to say is, if the Lord wills it, we will do whatever he says.
Yeah.
And that's just a major thing that comes back to me is, who are we trusting? And are we just doing our best to be faithful by the day?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's hard for us. In a culture that is all plan, have everything
mm-hmm.
5 years out all the time.
Yeah.
We might not be here in 5 years, you know?
Yeah.
We never know what can happen there. So taking each day as a gift and being faithful with mm-hmm. that, I think, is absolutely critical.
Well, and I think that even when you were in high school, it is really easy just to be like, you know what? I don't like talking to adults. So I'm just going to hang out with my friends. And these adults don't even get it. Like, they'll mm-hmm. never understand. And they'll, you know, this 85-year-old piano player doesn't know my life or like all of this. And yes, that is so true. There are some adults that do not do well with teenagers. And that, like, that happens.
Yep.
But you were able to open yourself up to people to give you wise counsel later. So mm-hmm. you didn't just go to a random person and be like, hey, here's this thing that I heard. You already had these relationships because you had opened yourself up to adults in your life and let them speak into your life. And I think I can think of so many teenagers that don't have adult mentors in their life because they're scared to talk to adults mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. they had a bad adult interaction.
Yeah.
It's like you have to keep trying and keep finding those caring adults in your life mm-hmm. because they can really help you find some direction.
Yeah. Yeah. And I encourage high schoolers, you know, pray for those types of people to show up because if you have somebody in mind, pursue them. And if you think you really need the help, yes, definitely ask. But I actually think our adults aren't doing what they're supposed to either.
Yeah.
I think they should be the ones going out of their way to pursue kids and
Amen.
And really walk with them. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Adam did that for me. He's only 12 years older than I am, but that was enough, you know, where he had the experience and the wisdom to speak into my life, yet he understood me because it wasn't that long ago since he was there.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also older adults who are just phenomenal with kids.
Yeah.
Too. It just depends on their gifting, their design, and how hard they work at it.
Yep.
Right? I think there is a lot of wisdom in empathizing with all generations of people.
Mm-hmm. You go to HU, you're doing ministry things. What are some of the things God taught you while you were training up to do vocational ministry for your career?
Yeah. Obviously, growth in knowledge of the word, of some ministry principles, all of these different things. But I learned quickly because I was I think they're called sojourners now, campus ministry coordinator, a chaplain for your floor, right?
Yes, yes.
And I learned very quickly the most effective way to minister to people is just be present.
Mm-hmm.
If you show up, if you're there,
yeah,
that will make room for those teachable mm-hmm. moments later.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's discipleship.
Yes.
Yeah. Adam was available to you and he was there.
Yes.
And so now you're doing the same thing
yes.
with the people on your floor.
Yes. Yeah. And that's, I've tried really hard to transition that into what I do with youth ministry and congregational ministry as well.
Yeah.
Is, you know, I get a big schedule of games. I try to go to one for every kid at least.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And also just partnering with local school systems, that's really important because we have an awesome school system
in
Huntington. We have adults who really care about helping our youth that are in positions of influence and can mm-hmm. make important decisions like that. And it's good to be a good citizen.
Yeah.
You know, the scriptures tell us that. And If I can help the school system out, then I'm doing a small part,
mm-hmm.
One to support youth, but also to support our administration and staff.
Oh, yeah. The people that are in the lives of teenagers.
All the time.
Making themselves available
yep.
all the time, like what we're passionate about as
mm-hmm.
well. They just do it in a different avenue, in a different way. So one last thing before we get to you reading your letter, because I want to get to that. But so you started doing the calling in your life that you felt so like confident that this is God, what God had for you, right before the pandemic hit.
Mm.
And then February of March of 2020, everything shut down. And I know as someone who did ministry during that time, that was really, really difficult and made most people question their calling of doing ministry because it was so hard.
Mm-hmm.
So how was that experience for you when you only had a few months under your belt of doing this?
Yeah. It was difficult, obviously,
yeah.
as it was for everybody. I don't think that time was easy for anyone in any type of setting, vocation as a vocationally
mm-hmm.
as a student, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I think I had it a little bit easier because I didn't really get to do anything in my job yet.
Yeah.
I was just kind of waiting for it to start
mm-hmm.
for X amount of time. And I was excited for that.
Yeah.
You know, I did what I could with the students I had available. I will never open up a Zoom application ever again.
Right? Trying to do a Zoom youth group.
Oh, it was awful.
It's hard.
Yeah, I figured out quickly what didn't work.
Yep.
And you know, last spring, things kind of got back around to some sense of normalcy, and I was able to assess things, but it also made it a little bit easier, you know. It didn't have to be, I guess, a youth group gathering in the way we'd always done it before.
Yeah.
We were able to take some different initiatives. I have a leadership team that's really supportive in all of those
mm-hmm.
things. So very flexible and gracious people, very patient through this entire time, and that was big.
Yeah.
And now I think I'm kind of getting a little bit of a foothold on it. I think I'll have it a little better as each year goes by.
Yeah.
But it was hard. But I'm an optimist anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Even when like crap is really hitting the fan, I can see a glass half full.
Yeah.
I think that the Lord has just graced me with that
mm-hmm.
because of what the nature of this calling is.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because I've had people tell me I'm more of a natural encourager and things like that. I just don't think it was that bad compared to what other things could have been.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I think that you had confidence in that calling.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And so even like when I questioned like, oh, is this what you want me to do still, God? I always heard back, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And
mm-hmm.
so I think even after me doing ministry for 14 years, every year I ask God, is this still what you want me to do?
Sure.
And every year back I hear, yep, keep going. And I'm like, okay, let's go. Mm-hmm. Even though this is really hard, I still hear it every single time I ask. Yeah. And so I think it is important to keep asking and keep being like, okay, God, is this it? Like, are we good? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll keep going. I'll keep trucking along.
Yeah.
And keep having confidence in what you've called me to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you make a good point there. You know, it's good to assess calling because that can change.
Yeah.
At different points of your life, it depends on, you know, whatever the Lord has already seen that he needs. And again, if we're stubborn and disobedient, he'll send someone else, but it's good to, and wise to assess that as you keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And there are also things we think about calling in the day in and day out that the Lord really affirms, oh yeah, this is the wheelhouse. This is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
This is why I'm here.
Yeah.
All of that sort of thing. So
During your whole journey of figuring out your calling, figuring out what you wanted to do for your life, even that gap year of like kind of like a desert wilderness period where you're wandering and you're like, I don't know. I'm a little lost right now. I don't know that what's next. What is some scripture that you keep coming back to that you're like, you know what? This is where my confidence is.
Psalm 119 verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And I heard somebody explain this. Maybe it was a conversation Adam and I had. A lantern will only give off about 10 feet of illumination in pitch dark, right?
Yeah.
But you keep walking the path, you can see the path, you know enough to take a few steps ahead. But it's when that next sunrise comes, you can look back and see why you've walked all of what you've walked.
Mm.
And I think that is so real when it comes to following the Lord. You know, he doesn't give us the whole picture.
Yeah.
He shows us what ultimately is at the end, that everything will be restored. We will all be unified at the end of the age as believers. But I think in the daily Christian life, that's about all we get.
Yeah.
Just a few next steps.
Mm-hmm.
And he reveals those each day a little bit at a time. And I think it's obedient to walk.
Yeah.
To walk in that way.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. And I love that analogy that you said about like the 10 feet and that path, because it is so true that we don't know what our future holds.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we can see the potential that's 10 feet in front of us, but who knows what's, you know, lying unseen in all of that. And so that is such a good analogy and such a good scripture verse to hold on to, especially when you do feel like there's a lot more darkness going on than light at different periods of time in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like we think about, you know, seasons and think like winter solstice. That's the darkest day of the year.
Yes.
As opposed to summer solstice, which is the lightest day of the year.
Yes.
And we walk through all of that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes our darkest days last a little longer than the light days, depending on the seasons that we're in.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And again, this is metaphor, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus is the light.
Yeah.
And we know that the light casts out the darkness. So faithfully each day, you know, it may seem like that this burdensome thing is hanging on you for a really, really, really long time. But the Lord is going to give you enough to sustain.
Yeah.
I've heard people say that God will not give you more than you can handle. I disagree with that.
Yeah.
He'll give you everything you can't, and then he'll get you through it because you have to rely on him.
Yeah.
And I think that's very true.
Yeah.
With those different seasons of life we experience.
Mm, that's so good. So right now, Brad, I would love for you to read your letter to your younger self.
Dear younger me, you have so much ambition. You have a desire to do great things. You're putting too much pressure on yourself. You don't have to have it all figured out today. This isn't your battle entirely to fight. You've done well up to this point. Have some grace on yourself. And love me. It'll be okay.
I think that's just such an encouragement. Especially, like, have grace on yourself. Like, I think that so many times we beat ourselves up so much. Mm-hmm. I was just sitting with two students yesterday, and they were both just talking about how hard they are on themselves and how every mistake they make feels like it's their fault. Mm-hmm. And it feels like, you know, nothing goes right in their life. And I think we forget that we need to practice grace with ourselves.
Yeah. And I would argue that the enemy uses stuff like that to distract us and keep us in a place of, you know, shame or whatever it may be, yeah. Right? I mean, when we shoot short of the mark, that's an easy place to go is shame.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that our sin is, you know, excusable or justified, yeah, outside of the blood of Jesus Christ and in the asking of forgiveness for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, as Eugene Peterson titled a book about it, it is a long obedience in the same direction.
Yeah.
Right? It's not going to be, you know, straight paths and sharp edges the whole time. It's, mm-hmm, going to be some rocky terrain. It's going to be jagged. There's going to be ups and downs with it. But remember who is calling and equipping you. And remember the promise that he said where he's going to take you, yeah, right? And in Philippians 1:6, he who started a good work in you will bring it to completion at, mm-hmm, the day of Christ Jesus.
Amen, Brad.
And that, yeah, and it's a long journey from here. Mm-hmm. And that I know 80-year-olds who are still figuring out, you know, Paul Fetters.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has said, I'm trying to figure out what it's like to be a Christian at 86 years old,
mm-hmm,
right? Somebody who has had a storied career of ministry, publishing, all of these different things that he's done well,
yeah,
for the kingdom of God. And I'm still learning what it's like to be a Christian at 86.
Yep.
That means something, mm-hmm, right? That shows humility, that shows he's not done yet, and I don't know what he needs me to do yet, right? Yeah. Back to that Psalm 119, 105, the lamp, the feet, the path, it's, yep, a short sight.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we need to trust that,
yeah,
you know, because we can look back and see how he's worked here too.
Yeah, that's so good. And we don't have to see what is right in front of us,
no,
either. Like, mm-hmm, we can just trust the lamp that it can lead us in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And if we, like in Hebrews, it says if we fix our eyes on Jesus,
yes,
the path will be made straight for, yep, us over and over and over again.
Yes.
But sometimes we get off that path and we think we know a better way, mm-hmm, to get there.
Mm-hmm. And we have to, you know, we try to take a shortcut over the mountain and, yep, we fall down the mountain and we're back on the path and we just dust off our tunic and keep going,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. So. The way I think about God's will and his direction for our life is, mm-hmm, a lot like a GPS.
Yeah.
Where,
oh, absolutely.
Like
Michael Jr. Talks about,
yeah,
that.
Like,
yeah.
You have your destination and you, like, you know where you need to get. But sometimes you make a wrong turn and you...
Rerouting.
Yeah, and you have to get rerouted, mm-hmm, all the time. And God will constantly be rerouting us, mm-hmm, in whatever steps that we take in our life.
Yeah, and I often tell people who put a lot of pressure on themselves like I did, and still do sometimes. He's still trying to work that out of my life. It's not so much about the results,
mm-hmm,
as the heart behind and the motivation behind the drive of where we're going.
Yeah.
Right. There are going to be those hiccups, like I've said, but if you have your eyes fixed on Jesus, like the Hebrews verse says, it's going to, be a place where we get to where we need to go,
yeah,
eventually. Right. Yeah. And God's timing is never early. It's never late. It's right. He's the author of it. He knows.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great.
Yeah.
Because, I'd be in trouble if I had that responsibility, mm-hmm, you know?
Yeah. So if somebody's listening to this and they're really they're in the same spot that you were of, you know, maybe they're lost and they, mm-hmm, took a wrong turn.
Yeah.
Or they actually don't even know where their destination is.
Yeah.
What is some advice that you have for people that are searching, that are looking?
Be honest about it. Find some people to talk to. Find people to pray with you about that, not even to, I mean, yes, certainly to give you some clarity and direction, but just to say in the middle of this, God, you are still good,
mm-hmm,
and I trust you.
Yeah.
Whether this thing gets figured out in this moment or years from now, you are good and I trust you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's look at the example of Abraham and Sarah. You know, she is mourning this entire long life of not being able to bear children.
Mm-hmm.
But then Isaac comes along. That was within the timeline that the Lord had built and set up.
Yeah.
Right? She's experiencing all of this despair when it's exactly when the Lord had designed for this to happen,
mm-hmm.
as an important part of salvation history. So it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard in the middle of that waiting. And even to a college student who may be listening, you know, you're getting to your last semester. You're either deciding between jobs or you don't have any offers yet.
Mm-hmm.
I have a really good friend who didn't land a job in his field for over a year or a year and a half.
Yeah.
250 job applications, not a one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Several interviews, but not a one of them went. You know, it can be a long road.
Yeah, it's tough.
But where he is now, he would absolutely say, this was worth it.
Yep.
This was worth all of that. And this is just one stage, right? There are seasons of waiting that we experience in this life that are difficult, but the testing of your faith produces endurance,
mm-hmm.
as the scriptures say. And nobody wants to go through these difficult things, right? As a culture, we try to completely run away from them.
Yeah.
But there is blessing for those who experience difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
And not that you should be out, you know, like dropping 3-pound hammers on your feet all day long.
Trying to create difficulty for
yourself.
Don't
create difficulty for yourself, but be faithful. Walk in the light. Go with the direction that you know He's set before you, at the mm-hmm. very least as a believer. We have that clearly. Be faithful. Be a good representative of me.
Mm-hmm.
Show my hope to other people. Be an example of this hope that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the stuff will take care of itself.
Yeah.
If we can just be obedient, trust Him with the results.
Mm-hmm. It's all about surrender and mm-hmm. obedience, which mm-hmm. is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Brad, thank you so much for coming and for giving some wisdom to us and sharing about your journey and how God has been continually faithful in your life. It has been so cool to get to know you and to hang out with you every Thursday morning when
yes.
we meet and we talk at the coffee shop and,
yep.
and hang out. And it is apparent that God is continually working in your life over and over again and continually to be faithful to you. And I love it that you're in Huntington. So.
Yeah. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to have the opportunity to work with you guys at the Youth Network. And it's a pleasure to serve here. And thanks for your encouraging and affirming words.
Yeah.
This is great. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Brad. So everybody at home, guys, I hope you enjoyed Dear Younger Me, Love Me. Make sure you guys like us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Definitely leave us a review. It helps other people find this podcast. And guys, I hope you learned a lot more about Brad, a lot more about yourself, and even more about God. Go out and have an awesome day.